welcome to Literary Loitering, the Geek Show's dedicated show to all things book-related here on the Geek Show Podcast Network. I'm going to say the Geek Show a couple more times because I didn't say it enough in that introduction. Geek Show, Geek Show, Geek Show, Geek Show, Geek Show. It's not even a word anymore. I'm Andrew. I have people with me.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, at the moment, Andy's eating a Big Mac, so I just ignore him.
He is going to conduct this entire show in mime.
Let's all just stare at him until he finishes.
Yes, we're also joined by me, Rob. Hello. I'm not tired at all.
Oh, we forgot Rob was here, didn't we?
Yeah.
Rob?
He just fell asleep on the keyboard.
Who's that? Where am I? Where are you people in my room?
Who are you crazy people?
You joke, but I remember last week when you literally did fall asleep partway through a show.
Yes, I did. I think... At one point, I actually had my eyes open while I was asleep, which would have been really creepy because I've seen someone do that before. And I've thought they're awake and staring at me, so I've been staring back, you know, just kind of, are you having a go? Are you starting, mate? Are you having a go? You know, typical Northern. And then all I can hear from them is just, I'm like, damn.
Just that same problem every morning when you look in the mirror.
I've been getting riled up for nothing, wasted all that energy, all that stress built up for no reason at all, man. Anyway, yes.
Yes, anyway.
We're also joined by one other person who has just walked in, all sore from rugby.
Yes, I am still sore, and it was Wednesday I played. I've never felt pain like this.
I told you university rugby was very different.
Did you genuinely think you were going to be playing tag rugby?
Oh, no. I knew what I was.
That's all right.
I knew what I was in it for.
If you thought you were playing tag rugby, right? Oh. At uni.
Yeah.
Right. You were severely mistaken.
Yeah.
Owen, you seem to be hunched over quite badly.
I'm just trying to protect myself. Every time I straighten out, I just get in more pain. Wow.
You walked into that
one. I did. That was so unfortunate.
Are you okay, Andy?
I think he's joking on his Big Mac.
You know, I was joking about just shoving the whole thing in your mouth.
Yes, your mic is off. Right, okay. And Andy is talking now.
Yes.
Talking now. Anyway, we've got news before we get into all sorts of other stuff. So, yeah, shall we kick off with the news, Andy?
We shall kick off with the news. And I've got some exciting news to start with. Guys, the new Game of Thrones book is finally out.
Hooray!
Yay! Except, no, I'm lying. It's not.
Aw.
What actually is out is George R. R. Martin's A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which is kind of a collection of his short novellas that he's done for, like, various anthology collections. It kind of follows the adventures of Duncan Egg, who is kind of a knight and his squire, which is sort of set a few centuries before the story of Game of Thrones.
Did you say his name was Duncan Egg?
I like that.
Yes.
The knight is Dunk, and his squire is called Egg.
The Knight of Dunk, hey?
Soldier Duncan Egg.
So is this what George R. R. Martin's been working on? Instead of finishing
Game of Thrones,
yeah, in 1997,
probably not, because like these are stories that he's all written like before in the past, for, like various short story books that have come out. So I think this is probably just more the publishers kind of getting them all together and shoving them in one book.
Yes,
which I think it's nice to have them all collected just in that one thing.
Mm. Yeah, not sure how they fit in. I've not read any of his short stories so far. I have read the graphic novel Skin Trade that has the story done by him, which was very interesting, all about werewolves and clothes and fashion. Turn to the left.
I think Wasteland 2's also had a short story by him as well, which is actually quite good.
Yeah. But yeah, Skin Trade, all about werewolves. I don't know how werewolves fit into Game of Thrones either. Maybe they don't. There was a cop. She had a gun. I don't know why guns go into Game of Thrones.
Maybe Rob Stark kind of became a werewolf.
Yeah.
In that he got a wolf for a head.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Like medicine back in
the
days.
Maybe this story skin trade has nothing to do with Game of Thrones. I do remember there were
cars
in there.
Don't be ridiculous.
George
R. R. Martin can't write things that aren't Game of Thrones.
But there were cars in there, man. They had sirens and lights.
Yes, just like in Game of Thrones.
It's a modern day adaptation of Game of Thrones.
Maybe it's set
although
like,
I'd love to see
I mean,
that.
Who doesn't remember that epic gun battle at the end of A Dance of Dragons?
Oh, the duel, you know?
Yes.
At high noon. On top of the wall.
And then Daenerys came down in the attack helicopter.
Yeah. Everyone just thought it was a dragon. It wasn't.
Trick of the light.
It was an Apache. And I don't mean the American Indian. I think
I can only think of like Daenerys Targaryen on the back of like a Native American who's like just whirling his arms.
Although, can I say, this will make an epic book if it ever did come out. You'd buy it, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I honestly don't know if I would buy it.
I wouldn't say epic book, but it might be interesting to read.
I think it'd be flaming hilarious, to be really honest. Yeah. So.
George R. R. Martin's new comedy.
George R. R. Martin. George R. R. Martin, even. His name is George R. R. Martin.
This is because him George
Gurr for short.
Yeah, Gurr Martin.
Gurr. Good old
Gurr. Should we call him that from now on, Gurr Martin? Yeah. So, Gurr Martin does not do comedy.
Why did you go all West Country on us when he said it?
I didn't go West Country. I'm not allowed to go West Country while Craig is in the room. Because if I try to do a West Country accent while Craig's around, all you'll see is just a Craig missile heading in my direction.
What will the audience
He'll have see? He'll have both fists out as well.
And then just kind of a Rob-shaped smear on the other wall.
Yes, basically.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yes. My dodgy Indian crossed with West Country accent has been embargoed. Even my Russian crossed with West Country accent has been embargoed.
That's another story, that one.
It's not like it's going to offend anybody.
Well.
If nobody talks like that, then.
Yeah. Anyway, Gurr Martin does not do comedy, as far as we know.
For now.
You know, he's been working. He must have been working on something.
Yeah, he's been working on
something. Yes, apart from the.
Maybe it's like, you know, all authors have like a secret project that they consistently work on.
Yeah.
But they never tell anybody, and they go, no, it's mine, it's my precious.
It'll be the hidden, unpublished book.
No, it's that he's just, like, he's in his garage practicing a stand-up routine.
He's got videotapes filled with, like, Abbott and Costello and Laurel and Hardy and, like, all sorts of comedians from all over the world. He just keeps practicing their routines. You know, big form hand, slap across the face kind of thing. This is another fine mess you got me into. And he's got some pedals. And one of them goes, wah, wah, wah. Are we putting too much thought into this?
Well, yes, I think you are starting to put too much into that. I mean,
could be Gurr Martin's Funhouse.
Yes. He's the new Pat Sharp.
Is that the name of the show now?
All he needs is a spiky mullet.
Is that going to be the name of the show now? Gurr Martin's Funhouse.
Yes.
Anyway. So Gurr Martin probably isn't doing comedy, but this book, I think that fans are going to take to it, but I think there's going to be a little bit of criticism.
Yeah.
Yeah, why is he putting this out instead of Winds of Winter?
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be expecting something like Game of Thrones. Like when J.K. Rowling did The Casual Vacancy, people went and bought it because of Harry Potter.
No. We renamed it.
Ah,
it's the casual book, racism.
Ah, there we go. That's the one. It's going to be a bit like that. People will buy it because they know what he's done before. They'll read it, realize it's completely different. And I know in the context of the casual racism, it was a terrible book anyway.
Did you just do finger quotation marks?
I did.
In front of me.
I did. Yes.
You know, you can't. If Rob didn't pay attention to that, it'd have been totally pointless.
It would have been. It was more for my benefit.
Yeah,
my benefit.
No. I didn't even mean to quote it. I was just simply says,
put the quotes down, Owen.
Back away.
I'm just being Nixon.
Back away slowly now.
I am not a crook.
Put the finger quotes down and back away slowly. Anyway.
Yes, where were we?
Yeah. Owen's got a point. People will buy it just because it's Guru Martin's book. It's fun to say Guru Martin. So anyway, shall we move on?
I think the most point is that, like you said, but I think there still is quite a big market for people who want to read these stories.
Well, I mean, if it's all short stories based around Game of Thrones and it's fleshing out the world, then okay, fine.
Because it is a series of stories that he's done about Dunk and Dagg.
Yeah, but I'd like to see him doing stuff away from Game of Thrones. I'd like to see more of his other stuff.
I'd just like to see him finish Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but I had that dream about Robert Jordan as well, and that didn't work.
But we're already going to see the end
of
the series.
Although, of course, Robert Jordan
didn't
finish Game of Thrones, Rob.
No, Wheel of Time.
Yeah,
the Wheel of Time.
I've been flippant.
I know you were. Damn it. I can't win against that argument.
No, you can't.
I thought you'd have a very good try trying it, though.
No, I can't be bothered. Yes. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, some guys won the BBC short story competition, and the guy is called Jonathan Buckley. And he's a writer.
Wow.
I'm carrying on my I don't care face.
Did he find his calling at a young age?
I don't know. I don't care. Anyway, Jonathan Buckley has won the BBC National Short Story Award, and he's beaten a couple of famous names. He beat Mark Haddon and Hilary Mantel. And his book is called Briar Road. It's a haunting account of a family struggling to find a missing daughter. And he, basically a part-time medium, arrives at a becalmed house, a home full of the stillness that follows calamity, to search for clues to the daughter's, to the girl's disappearance by holding an awkward seance. It sounds quite, you know.
Dark?
Because originally I was a bit worried about the whole haunting, you know, account thing. But then when you introduce the medium, I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is going to be a bit more like kind of poltergeist exorcist kind of mold. Mm. You know, so they're relying on spirits to help find the daughter. Maybe the daughter's been taken away as in, you know, in Poltergeist when she disappears into the TV. Could be something like that. Could be interesting.
Yeah. Oh, could go down more the route of like the medium obviously being like a complete sham.
Yeah.
Like them trying to solve this case, even though what they're doing is obviously complete nonsense.
Twaddle.
That is a word I can say on the radio.
Twaddle.
Yes,
twaddle.
Twaddle.
Twaddle's a bad word.
Twaddle is a good word. We like twaddle. Grr, Martin. are we just going to call this episode Grr, Martin?
It's even more fun when you extend it, just like Grr, Martin.
Anyway.
That sounds like it could be a very dark story as well, though.
It could be, but it reminds me of... have you guys seen The Others?
Yes.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I really liked The Others, the movie, because it took that whole kind of... idea of spirits and ghosts and stuff like that and gave it a twist.
Mm.
You know, it did... It basically pulled a sixth sense on people. Mm. And you spent most of the movie thinking that they're being attacked, you know, they're being attacked by all these spirits and stuff like that. But then it turns out, yeah. Not going to spoil it for
yes.
Those who haven't seen it. Yeah. I know what you mean.
So, yeah. I like the fact that it went down that, that angle. And I think with this one, it'd be interesting to see what kind of angle they take. Cause I do think the fake medium angle is an interesting one to go down. And what happens if they just...
You mean just medium,
lucky.
But fake medium is an oxymoron.
No, fake medium could be, you know, somebody lying about, you know, their weight.
I did that one time, you'll never let me go.
Hey?
I did that one time, you'll never let it go.
Oh, right, okay. Let it go. When you said let me go, I was thinking, hey?
Yep.
I meant to say,
what's going on there?
I meant to say... I meant to say
did you steal it?
No. I meant to say...
No, I'm not holding you captive, Owen.
Really? Wow. Why am I here then? Can I just go?
Okay, bye. anyway, back to the story. Yeah. Interesting. A couple of angles I could go down. I would be interested in reading this one just to see how it goes.
Yeah.
Sounds different.
Ruby Hilary Mantel, and I'm sick to death of hearing about Hilary Mantel. I'm sorry, she might be a great author, but you know when somebody you hear about somebody too much?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She seems to be like all the news stories we find now. It's Hilary Mantel is thing.
Or the fact that the BBC, the TV adaptation doesn't have the right size cod pieces and things like that.
Oh, yes, I remember that controversy now.
Yes, yeah, cod pieces. Was it too small or too large? I think it was too small, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was too small.
This is they actually complained about this, about the TV adaptation of Wolf Hall.
Mm-hmm.
The cod pieces were too small.
That gave me flashbacks.
Anyway, moving on.
Yes, so Waterstones are going to stop selling the Kindle. So apparently Kindle book sales and Waterstones have absolutely plummeted. Just no one's buying them.
Is it my theory? People have been sitting on them and breaking
them. Yes, that's exactly it, Rob. People just like they've sat on their Kindles and they've gone, if only I could read things made out of some sort of more butt absorbent material.
Does that mean Amazon are going to sell off all their Kindles that they've got installed then? Are they just going to pull them from the shelves? Well,
Amazon are going to.
I was going to say Amazon are selling their Kindles by Amazon.
Yeah, I know. Because I meant Waterstones.
Waterstones are just probably going to sell off the stock they have and just not get any more.
Mm. Yeah, but the thing is, wasn't there talk about Waterstones developing their own kind of e-reader as well?
Well, yeah. That would explain a lot as well. They don't want the competition of selling someone else's product. When their product's right there, but that could still work to their advantage anyway.
If the Kindle's falling in sales, this will explain why they're only selling the Kindle on Amazon now.
Yeah. Won't it? Yeah. But the thing is, you've got such a diversity of tablet PCs now, which can double as e-readers. So I think the days of the Kindle are probably numbered.
Yeah. The Kindle Fire is the same price roughly as an iPad.
Yeah. So but what's the point when you can get something just as good for about a quarter of the price?
Or just get an iPad which can do a ton of other stuff and also has a reader on it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right. I have a tablet and I've downloaded the Amazon Kindle app to it so I can buy my books from Amazon, read them on my tablet. I don't need to get a Kindle.
Yeah.
So what they could do is let the Kindle die off slowly, maybe charge for the Amazon Kindle app. They could have it as maybe a small subscription or...
I don't think they'd charge for the Kindle app.
No.
Because that's a bad idea.
Simply because you've got to pay for the books as well when you go...
Yeah, no one's going to want to pay
for the thing they can get
to buy books with.
Not quite that. They've already given away the app for free. You start charging for an app that you historically have given away for free, you're going to turn people away.
I don't mean I'm thinking something like Netflix. They can do a small subscription.
Wouldn't work.
Read whatever books
they
want.
You're still charging for something that historically has been free.
Netflix, you get the app for free, right? But you have to pay for the actual Netflix account.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Yeah. Whereas with the Amazon stuff,
Prime, you actually get books with it. I think you actually get...
It's included with it.
Includes really? Everything. On Amazon Prime, they include books?
Yes, where they do. Because it usually says on Prime, 0000. You pay like £79 a year for it, that's why.
Ah. We've just been informed that e-paper is not the same as a tablet PC.
Yes.
Apparently it doesn't have like the backlit thing that hurts your eyes.
Yeah.
And a charge lasts for 10 days.
So, there's a bit of product placement for you there straight away.
Well, no, I said e-paper.
Oh.
Ah, clever. Yeah.
I didn't mention any particular product, did I? No. But here's the thing, it does kind of put a dent in this whole idea that the Kindle is going to die.
Yeah, I was definitely wrong about that.
It has a clear function as opposed to tablets.
Yeah. You would need to think, though, is that protected by Amazon? Because all another company has to do is go, we're using this.
E-paper is not an Amazon thing. Amazon didn't develop e-paper.
All somebody maybe like Apple or Microsoft have to do is, we're making this even cheaper. And then people are going to buy that over on Amazon.
Yeah, but the thing is...
the company.
The thing is, it's difficult to make something like that cheaper because you've got to take into account the fact that it's using all of those materials. And some of those materials are very, very expensive. Yeah. I mean, when you get to the rare earth metals, you know, those are stupidly expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And some of those are actually costing more than platinum now because they are very hard to get hold of.
Yeah.
But they are the best things to use. That's why there's so much going into recycling old, you know, old gadgets and stuff like that. Because they're salvaging all this rare earth metal from there.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the main point of this story,
yes,
was it?
Yes, the point that I was coming around to is the really interesting part of this story is that physical book sales at Waterstones are actually up by 5%.
Result!
Yeah.
I mean, I'll admit, like, if I get a book on an e-reader, I'll enjoy it, but I still want the real paper in my hands, properly reading it, and I will go out and buy the actual book.
I like seeing the progress.
Yeah.
Unless they make some magical device where you actually see a digital
progress bar. It's called a progress bar. It's called a progress bar. We know what it's called. It exists already, Ed.
I think what it's always been for me is, like, obviously I spend a lot of time on, like, computers and stuff.
Yes.
And it's just nice to have a book, which isn't a screen. Just go and stop looking at a screen for a few minutes.
I think so as well. You're not going to get a paper cut off on e-reader.
Yeah, but it's the thrill of the danger.
you're taking your life into your own hands.
Quite literally.
I just prefer reading books because, well, it's what I've always done.
Yeah.
I've always read books and I just prefer to hold a book. I like the action of turning the page, actually feeling the page when I turn the page. And I just like the fact that if I have a Kindle or any other kind of e-reader or even I'm reading it on a tablet, I can't walk down the street, right, with my headphones in and an e-reader, especially in a place like Middlesbrough, because someone's going to have the e-reader out of my hands and run away with it.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas if I'm walking down the street holding a book with my headphones in, I'm guaranteed one thing. Nobody's going to try and steal the book.
No.
You might get some people kind of circling around who are trying to transcribe the strange squiggles on the paper.
No, I just generally I get people moving out the way because it's obvious I'm not paying attention and I'm probably going to walk over the top of them.
Got cars swerving into each other. It's basically 90% of road accidents are caused by people trying to get out of Rob's way.
Yes, while I'm reading the latest work by one of my favourite authors,
Grimmatic.
It's what what happened with the Shepherd's Crown. When I was reading that, I was just kind of head in the book, reading away.
That's why there were so many car accident stories over the past few weeks.
Yeah, the buses were delayed a lot that day. It was me just kind of, good part of the story, I've got one foot on the bus. I'm just waiting and standing there, and the driver's going nuts, going, get on the bloody bus, swearing at me. I can't hear a thing. Headphones in, music going, I'm reading. Yeah, anyway, I shouldn't admit to stuff like that,
No, you shouldn't.
Anyway, yes.
You basically give it all the many people who want to kill us a powerful new weapon.
Take the book away from him. No, give him a book, then he can't fight
exactly.
back.
Exactly.
So,
just hit you with the book.
Throw the book at him.
Yes. Yes, book chuck. Anyway, where were we? So, yeah, book sales are up 5%. I'm happy with this. This makes me happy. I like book sales. So, my turn now? Yeah?
Yes, your turn.
Okay, now, moving on to our irregular and unofficial Yuri Geller watch.
You have to clarify, it's a watch, not something you put on your wrist.
Which is also called a watch.
Mm.
Yeah, basically I was making a joke there, Andy.
And it's just been destroyed.
So yeah. Anyway,
it's okay. The Yuri Geller watch was a terrible idea anyway. I mean, like, the time's always wrong because the hands are bent.
Oh, yes. Wow. Anyway, the lesser spotted Yuri Geller has flown back to Israel and as a parting gift for the village of Sonning-on-Thames in Berkshire where he lived, he gave them a statue of a bent spoon which was made by the artist Paul Wells. And it sits on the Thames path opposite a mansion belonging to George and Amal Clooney. It was only unveiled on Monday, but there is a problem. Apparently, it was put there with the prior agreement of Sonning Parish Council. And Yuri Geller bought this sculpture to remind people that he used to walk along this path. And the village is spiritual. It's an incredible center of energy with the river. It's amazing with all the celebrities popping up here. I hear Taylor Swift wants to buy my house. Where is she? But here's the problem. Apparently, the council didn't give planning permission. So there are issues with planning permission. So Uri Geller has given a message all the way from sunny Israel. You can take my spoon, but you'll never bend my creative freedom.
Wow.
I don't even know what to say to that.
It's not quite William Wallace, is it?
No, just the way he can say that without a single trace of irony in it.
It really isn't William Wallace at all. I just seriously, if he went on TV with half his face painted blue, you know, and shouted that down the camera, then I would laugh and say that is probably the most entertaining you've been in decades.
Oh, more entertaining than bending a spoon.
I can bend spoons.
Exactly.
Uri Geller was really all he says he is. He would have built a statue of a completely straight spoon and then bent it with his mind.
I like the way Andrew thinks.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I'd love to see that, to be really honest, just to prove that he can do it all.
Well, do you know...
remember, though, it's not the spoon that bends, it's only yourself.
Well, we have a T-shirt that actually says, once you go curly, you'll never go straight. Do you think we should send one to Uri Geller?
Yes!
He could be our sponsor for that T-shirt. Wear it round. Once you go curly, you'll never go straight.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he's
shouldn't
bending
make
a
that
lot.
Number one priority, Rob.
What? Getting a T-shirt like that to Uri Geller so he can wear it on his next TV.
He'll have an address. No
yes,
doubt.
Yes, he will. Yeah. Yes, he will.
I'm sure he'll bend over backwards to wear that shirt.
Oh, Owen.
God, just say I do apologise for...
Light a match, dude.
that was just terrible.
Oh, yes. It's not safe to go in there yet. Anyway, backing away from that slowly, back to Andrew for our final news story.
No.
No?
No.
Why?
Because I only had those two news stories.
Oh, God, yeah. I had the last one, didn't I?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you had the last
one. You said that before you did the news story, Rob.
No. Yes. No. Anyway, yes. So, what are we doing now then? Oh, yes. Now, we are in the middle of reading... a couple of books, so we'll have more reviews for those next time. I'll probably have a review for the one that I'm reading. You might have one the week after for Half a War, is it?
Hopefully. Yeah, it's definitely Half a War. It's not hopefully Half a War. Hopefully, it's definitely Half a War. Yeah. Hopefully, I'll have a review for it at some point in the future.
Yes.
When I actually have time to sit down and read things.
Yes. In the meantime, we're going to have a little bit of an interim from all the book reviewing and stuff like that. And we're going to talk about adaptations. Now, there's been a lot of adaptations of all sorts of stuff. There's been tons of adaptations of Agatha Christie and Shakespeare on TV and in films. And the Macbeth has just had a new adaptation been released, which looks very, very good. Although Rob didn't like it. Rob from Cinema Eclectica didn't like it because he didn't like the Shakespearean language.
I can't stand it myself, so.
Apparently it was mumbled in a broad Scottish accent. That's the problem.
So it's not that he doesn't understand the Shakespearean language. He doesn't understand Scottish.
It's the Shakespearean language that's mumbled in a broad Scottish accent. Seriously. Do you remember the opening thing, Hubble, bubble, toil and trouble, fire burn, yes. Cauldron bubble? Right. Yes. Now, can you imagine that mumbled in a broad Scottish accent?
No, I can't, Rob. Please do it first.
No, I'm not. You're baiting me. No.
Do it. Do
Owen, it. Oh, you've been
do
nominated.
Hey, I'm not insulting my people for your comedy.
Aw.
You kind of make me.
See, this kind of thing is why you're not allowed to leave the office, Owen.
Why? Because I can't be trusted around other people.
No,
yes,
no.
We can't unleash you onto the wide world.
It's for your own sake.
I'm no danger.
You're treating him like Godzilla. Just Owen stomping around middle of the going, Rawr!
Even Godzilla was allowed out once. I'm not allowed out at all.
And look how well it went when Godzilla got let out. The answer wasn't all very well at all.
We didn't let Godzilla out, right? Godzilla just got out.
It's always an excuse.
He chewed off his chin, didn't he?
He just hopped over the fence.
No, he dug a hole under it. Godzilla, like some small puppy, just with his scrabbly little arms, digging a hole under the fence.
I can't think of Godzilla without that Ultimate Showdown. No.
Yes.
Ultimate Showdown.
Oh. You've never saw Ultimate Showdown?
Godzilla
Ultimate
versus Showdown. Macho Man Randy Savage?
No.
No. It's just... Godzilla versus Batman, Shaquille O'Neal.
Chuck Norris. Yes. Oh, the Power Rangers.
No. Godzilla versus Charles Barkley. Remember that one? The comic.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we go back to...
Yes, adaptations.
Head of basketball playing Godzilla.
Yes. You think we're kidding on this? We're not.
Please,
Godzilla slam dunks.
Could someone please make a TV adaptation of that comic book? Just a one-off exclusive for that, because that'd be pretty damn impressive.
Can't we just make it?
Yeah, and this is why we can't take Space Jam seriously, because we had Charles Barkley versus Godzilla.
What's Space Jam, that classic from the 90s?
Yeah, but we can't take it seriously once you've seen Godzilla slam dunk against the Empire State Building.
I don't think Space Jam is meant to be taken seriously, Rob.
It was a kid's movie.
Yes, and Rob from Cinema Collective goes going mad with Andy for saying Space Jam is a classic.
He absolutely hates Space Jam so much. I like Rob off by telling him how much I loved it as a kid.
You know, thank you for...
You know, as the most eagerly anticipated sequel
going. I said a bit of a expletive, didn't I?
I actually got away with not saying it for a change as well.
That's well weird. We normally expect it from Jordan.
It's okay, we've finally broken Jordan in now. Yeah.
No, you haven't. Trust me, you haven't.
We're in here.
It's the look on your face really says it all. Just kind of, damn, what do I say now?
Was that accidental or was that on purpose though?
the column B. Hey, so TV adaptations of books.
Yes. Hey, normally it's me heading off into the wild blue yonder, but today you guys are going for it.
Are we just doing TV adaptations or movie adaptations?
We can touch on movie adaptations as well, but
adaptations you can take into account. Mr. Men.
How do you mean?
They were made into TV animations.
That was his book originally.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. Mm. The thing is, Mr. Men is an easy one to make into an adaptation.
Yeah, they were made into TV adaptations as well.
The thing is, as I said, Mr. Men is an easy one to make into an adaptation. I mean, if you're going to go for something, I don't know, maybe completely left field, you could go for something like Polar City Blues, which is kind of a sci-fi detective thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'd like to see BBC or ITV or one of the TV networks really do something interesting with the sci-fi genre, rather than just the typical kind of, oh, look, we're going to do another version of Firefly, or we're going to do Farscape, or we're going to do Stargate all over again. More Star Trek. Let's have more of that.
Yes. You
know? But why not have something like, you know, an intergalactic private detective who just goes around solving crimes and getting into trouble?
They don't actually have it, do they?
No, they don't. And I don't understand why. And that's my idea. You're not allowed to steal it.
It's copyrighted.
Well, unless they want to actually make a TV series of it.
Yeah, then you can have it.
Yeah, they can buy it
off original TV series, not like some like Sherlock Holmes in space or something like that.
No, he's a private detective. He's not Sherlock Holmes. He doesn't have a brother called...
Like, it's kind of like Poirot. Yeah, Poirot in space.
No, not Poirot either. He doesn't have a saucy little French moustache.
Sorry, is he actually like an 80-year-old woman?
I think you'll find he's Belgian.
No. I was thinking more like Mike Hammer in space.
I know. That's where I was deliberately going for just Marvel.
You could
have any book in space.
Sorry, what?
You could have any book or any character set in space for a TV series.
Yes. Yes, you can.
Simple, Andy. Simple boy.
Do you know another option for science fiction that they could have gone with? And I can't remember what the book's name is, and I would love to remember what the name is, because it wasn't a bad book, but it was basically all about an interdimensional police force. So it wasn't all about space travel. It was like Sliders, only they were actually armed to the teeth, but they couldn't actually impact on other realities. They basically had to go in. They were basically like the SAS, but the interdimensional version of the SAS.
Wow. The X-Files version of the SAS.
So it's like basically they have to go in, like, do the thing and get out, causing like as few ripples as possible.
Basically, yeah.
Like, yeah, that sounds really cool.
You know, it was just kind of, this is just like the most amazing idea ever. Why has no one done this? I mean, they have to avoid contact with the population. Full stop. You know, they can't make contact with the population because that'll create all sorts of ripples because they half the time they're not dressed like everybody else. You know, these all the different worlds. It's like, you remember in Sliders where one of the worlds was being ruled by the Nazis and you had all sorts of things going on, that worlds where aliens had invaded, stuff like that. Now, imagine you are a special forces unit going to capture a criminal, right, who's escaped into that world and is trying to blend in with the population of that world. And you have to go into that world and you have to be, you know, it's a stealth mission primarily, and you have to capture them and get out of that world, you know, get back to your own reality with them in tow, but you can't actually make any untoward action. So you can't affect the history or the future of that world. So if they're, you know, if humans are being enslaved, you can't help humanity. So it calls in all those moral questions and stuff like that. You know, should you help humans? And obviously people are going to be conflicted about it with the ethical questions of it's slavery being bad and everything like that, and humanity being enslaved by alien races. Should we cause a revolution? Blah, blah, blah. Because they're not going to be there to suffer the consequences of that. It's like, you know, the prime directive in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, you can't mess with another culture.
Yeah. Basically, it's like that. You've got interdimensional travel. You can't mess with their past or their future.
But that's happened with that water on Mars. They can't touch it because of contamination.
Yeah. But this is the thing, you know.
There's a sci-fi story. I'd
love to see a sci-fi story like that, and I wish I could remember the name.
How
of the
about
book.
That book you, Andrew, reviewed a few weeks ago for the Moon? That'd make a good TV series.
Seven Eves.
Yeah, Seven Eves. Yeah, could
from what
do.
You said about
well, I mean, have you seen The Martian?
I have not, but it looks like quite a fairly similar prospect.
The Martian does a lot of kind of science, and, you know, it's...
What an awesome term that is, science-y stuff.
Yeah, I didn't say stuff. I just said science-y science. Yeah. The Martian does a lot of that, though, and it works to a degree, but it's just kind of, it's a bit too neat. There's bits where things go wrong, science can't predict everything, and there's bits where it is kind of messy, he's having to grow potatoes and stuff like that. I'm not going to tell you what he uses, but it's just kind of, yeah, it touches only a little bit on the messy part of science.
Yeah, and 70s was like all about how messy it is.
Yep. Yeah.
I would like to see like a 70s film or TV series.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. I think TV series might be more interesting than film because you could go into more detail with the TV series.
Seems to be taking off, like that book was all about the detail.
Yeah. Sorry?
It seems to be very, like, over the last few years, they're taking off all these TV series. No pun intended for space there, but everything, like...
At least I'm not the
TV
only one
TV series
make
is more popular.
Well, no. Andy's not trying to make a bad joke.
That was trying to prove a point, and people thinking that I've made a bad joke when I haven't. That was not funny.
The thing is, Game of Thrones has proven that you can take a story like Game of Thrones and put it onto TV, and it will really work and have a massive following. And I'd like to see something do that with science fiction. I'd love to see the science fiction equivalent, not of Game of Thrones, because the science fiction equivalent of Game of Thrones is probably Mass Effect.
Which is going to be a film.
Yes.
At least there was no incest in Mass Effect.
That we know
there
of.
There were some quite weird things in Mass Effect.
Yeah. There were weird things, but...
That we know of.
Asari did like to get freaky.
Yes.
Mass Effect would actually go a better as a TV series than it would a film.
Yeah. It would.
But anyway.
I'd love to see TV
series. Yeah, because I actually
again.
Thought that, like, replaying through the games, that a lot of the missions are very episodic.
Yeah.
So you could easily turn it into a TV series.
That, I'd love to see a TV series of Gears of War.
No.
Because you need...
I don't want to even see another game of Gears of War.
You need guys who are...
number 4 comes out next year.
Seriously, you need guys who are like Arnie when he was young. You need, like, loads
Still
of those guys.
Still on before he actually got beat up.
See, you say that, but Stallone, I actually don't mind Stallone that much.
Because
as an actor, he overcame a lot of adversity to become to become an actor. I mean, he had didn't he have a stroke when he was quite young?
Yeah.
Which is why I think it was like when he was doing Cliffhanger, wasn't it?
No, I think it was before that. Because I'm pretty sure it was before he did Rocky he had a stroke.
Yeah, because that...
Actually, yeah, because he had the voice when he did Rocky.
Yeah, he did Rocky because he had that.
It was definitely after he did
that,
Death Race. Because like, I remember watching Death Race and thinking, oh, wow, it's Stallone. But, like, he sounds completely different.
Yeah.
Mm. He did, didn't he? Actually, I don't remember Stallone doing Death Race, but is that Death Race 2000?
Yeah, the original one.
Yeah.
With David Carradine.
Yep.
And his hand grenade.
That hand grenade.
Yes, his grenade is a hand.
Because I think Stallone, despite all that, he played three of the most iconic characters in film history. Well, two are the most iconic and one really iconic comic character. So you got Rocky, Rambo, and Dredd.
No. No, we don't count Dredd. No. We don't count
that. That wasn't a thing that happened.
If you're going to go with futuristic law enforcement for Stallone, Demolition Man.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
We do not count Dredd. We're fine going with Demolition Man, but we do not include Dredd. Because Demolition Man was just, is it cold in here or is it just me?
Rob's just sat off there, just nodding away, going, yep.
This is still Lip You Like Ring, right?
Eh?
This is still
Lip You Like Ring. We're just having a bit of fun today. But yeah, the problem is, are you having difficulty thinking of titles to...
I am.
Yeah, I'm the same.
We discussed this beforehand, we're going to do this.
Automatically, I'm thinking of the Anne McCaffrey stuff, and I'm thinking, but then I run into the problem of Anne McCaffrey's Pern books, long series, loads of stuff you could do with it, especially in a TV series, but dragons.
I'd love to see anything except anything by any remake by Charles Dickens, Roald Dahl, or Shakespeare on the TV.
Well, I think it's
because they're the three most overused.
Agatha Christie.
Well, there's too much of all that anyway, which is the issue.
I suggested the kind of intergalactic private detective, but I just don't want to see another bloody police procedural or another thing set in a hospital or involving doctors.
Mm.
You know, Hugh Laurie is all well and good as House, but I don't want like intergalactic Hugh Laurie.
Yeah, you basically. Because there is that procedural formula where it's just the exact same show, but insert X twist here.
Well, I don't want a giant Hugh Laurie head in the sky, just floating over somebody who's lying on a gurney and going, "Show me what you got."
would you also offer betting advice?
So suddenly we went to Rick and Morty.
Yes, we did.
I'm confused how we got here.
A giant Hugh Laurie head in the sky.
See, I think that's the bit I'm confused as to how we got to giant floating Hugh Laurie head.
Intergalactic Doctor.
Still.
But I feel like there are more ways that can go than just Hugh Laurie's giant floating head.
Is his assistant going to be Ray Winston, who offers betting advice as well?
Betting play. It could be. You never know.
3-1 odds, he survives.
No. 3-1. Then he cocks it up halfway through the halfway through the show first before he has to rectify it.
Those are good odds.
Do you know what I'd like to see?
What would you like to see, Rob?
And it's gone again. I had it and it went.
I think I'd just like to see more Discworld adaptations.
Yes, that was it. Thank you for reminding me.
Same wavelength.
Yes.
We're on the same wavelength. Someone help me.
Done that.
I'm sinking. Must reach the gutter.
It's too late. I'm too far gone. Brain is initiating self-destruct sequence.
Save yourselves. Anyway, I'd like to see more Discworld adaptations as well. I didn't like the Going Postal one that much. I'll be honest. I liked Hogfather. I thought Hogfather was the best.
Yeah, yeah. Hogfather, and then They did Colour of Magic as well.
Colour of Magic, and with David Jason as Rincewind, and they really... He really nailed the character.
He did.
He gets into it, though. That's the best thing with David Jason. Once he's starting to do something like that, he really gets into it.
No, he was really good as Albert.
Yes, he was really good as Albert.
He was really
good as Albert,
but I think he really stole the show as Rincewind. And was it playing Two Flower?
It was Sean Astin, Samwise Gamgee.
Yeah, Samwise Gamgee.
Yeah.
Sean Astin, and he was really good as Two Flower as well.
Yeah, because he just absolutely nailed that kind of dumb but really optimistic tourist.
Yeah, and Jeremy Irons is the patrician. Oh, yeah. So
But good. No, wasn't it? It was Charles Dance.
What, in Colour of Magic?
It was
Jeremy Irons in Colour of Magic, because he goes, "Don't let me detain you."
Yeah, I remember Charles Dance.
I'm pretty sure it was Jeremy Irons.
It's definitely been Charles Dance.
Yes. I think he was in Hogfather, though.
Yeah.
I think he was the one in Hogfather.
I think that's what you're doing. You're both getting... Because David Jason's in both, I think that you're getting them both confused as well.
No, I'm pretty sure...
I think it's probably just because they've played the same character.
Yeah. Mm.
But, like, I think Charles Dance did it more recently, so that's the version I had in my head.
I can confirm it's Jeremy Irons.
So, yeah. I think Charles Dance was in Hogfather.
Yeah, yeah, because he has definitely been the partition as well.
The partition.
Yes, the partition. He is the curtain.
Just Charles Dance pretending to be a wall. Is it Charles Dance in his greatest role ever? This is Oscar-winning material. So moving.
Well, no, that's the whole point. He doesn't move because he's a wall.
Charles Dance will break down your walls.
Oh, you killed it, man.
Wow. I've lost it.
It's all that rugby on Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I got bashed around a little bit.
Oh, right, okay. So yeah, where are we? I'm lost. I'd like to see them be more ambitious with the TV stuff. I've got to be honest. There's loads of good books. But the problem is, there's so much popularity in the detective stuff these days. And I understand that it's a popular thing. It's just when it comes to TV, they've got so much ability and they've got so many ways they can make stories work, you know?
Which means, I think, because they need something to stand out from all those, I think that's why something like that private detective in space thing would work really well.
Well, the thing is, it could be...
Better gadget in space.
No.
Are you just saying random words in space now?
You're putting space after
the Great British Bake Off in space.
That's a winner for you.
MasterChef Australia in space.
That's like wrong on two levels, isn't it?
Hey,
Microsoft Australia. MasterChef Australia in space. It doesn't make sense.
Me do word good.
Hang on a minute. The fact that Andy's just saying and said Fun that Australian MasterChef in space doesn't make sense, right? But didn't think of anything when he said the Great British Bake Off in space.
Yeah, because it's British. We can't say Australia if it's not in Australia.
Basically, we own space. Space is ours.
We put a flag in space.
Yeah,
it's part of the British Empire.
Yeah, we put a flag in space. Now we own it all.
Just do I'm a Celebrity on that.
There's just a Union Jack spinning around somewhere near Saturn.
That's what you should do, Rob.
What?
They've just found water on Mars. Do I'm a Celebrity on there. I'll watch that.
I'm a Celebrity on Mars?
No. No.
You've watched it? No.
Because then no one would want to go to Mars.
Because you find celebrities that you could send and then they don't come back.
No, what you need to do is basically send...
All the losers just get sent out into space.
No, we do
I'm a Celebrity, but we send them to the jungle, and while they're in there, we all go to Mars.
See, I like that idea. There is an alternative. You tell Anton Deck that they need to go scout the location for the new I'm a Celebrity, and they go to Mars and we leave them there.
No, because then ITV will find someone else to do it.
But then, wasn't your whole problem that you want people to go to Mars?
Yes.
So don't put Anna Deck there.
No, but the thing is, by the time
can't we have a little tiny accidental problem with the navigation and send them hurtling into the sun?
No, see, you're missing the point. By the time we actually send real people to Mars, they'll be gone.
or they'll have mutated into horrific, like, actual ants and decks. I mean, what one of these is scarier than the other?
Are you actually thinking of DJ ants? Oh, God, now I'm thinking like
DJ Rob. Geordi ants.
Okay, now I'm
Let's
thinking
get
like
ready
Rob.
To rumble.
Wow.
Oh, God. I can't believe it. I'm thinking like Rob now.
More importantly, you're thinking like Andrew as well. So
it's infectious. Next is you, John.
You are now officially psychologically unstable. You will have to report.
I need to make my escape.
I'll get you your nice, like,
I've been there, done that, and got a t-shirt.
Straight jacket, that's the word.
He plays university rugby. He's already psychologically unstable.
I've already been there, done that, and got a t-shirt. Right, walked away unscathed for some reason.
That's because you only played one game.
No.
You went to one practice and that was it, and you were safe. 100% record, that's it.
Wow. Yeah, I won most of it as well.
Really? University rugby? Really?
Bull. Oh. Think of it this way, I didn't even go to uni, so
that's why I'm going, really?
I think I should just got confused and broke into a primary school rugby lesson.
Just Jordan pushing over 5-year-olds.
Who's the man?
Just launch him straight through a window.
Maybe not that harsh.
Hang on, just be a TV show. We'll just send Jordan to do different things.
No, because then people will say we're copying Carl Pilkington.
Carl Pilkington.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, or Ross Kemp, because Ross Kemp did it as well.
No, but Ross Kemp actually has a point to do it. Kemp goes around talking to people and actually is informative.
He's actually Carl Pilkington.
Freddie Flintoff did it as well.
Yeah, Freddie Flintoff is fine as well, but Carl Pilkington is just a moron. Yeah, I really don't understand why that show is popular, but anyway, that's the kind of caliber we have. I would recommend, I'd like to see them do a short TV series based on, Incompetence. That'd be an interesting one. I've just remembered it. It's a book by Rob Grant. And the idea is that the EU have passed a law that you cannot be fired from your job for being bad at your job.
That's a bit...
Yeah, that's
right. Here's the thing. Now you have a private detective who's traveling across Europe chasing a serial killer. And because of this EU law, all he's surrounded with is incompetence.
Wow. That's...
You know, he'll take his suit to the dry cleaners and they'll send him back a pair of shoes, but not his suit. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, that
sort of thing. And that's what he's having to put up with in the face of a serial killer who is basically just killing his way across Europe. And he's got to try and catch him.
That'd
make an
cool.
interesting miniseries, you know.
It would, yeah.
An interesting comedy, comedy thriller. I reckon we're, maybe a 4 or 5 episode thing, like Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, but without all the magic and the wigs. But yeah, I think that could work. I don't know. Are you guys got any recommendations then for a book or a series of books that could go on to TV?
Apart from
the obvious stuff
I mentioned before, I think.
Yeah, I think avoiding the
Something
obvious
different.
Stuff.
I mean, those include.
I think that's what it is. If you avoid the obvious stuff.
Yeah.
Because everyone will go, oh, it's just that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, John, I'm surprised it hasn't been made into like some sort of series by now. More Bernard Cornwell stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Like, especially now that Game of Thrones has been big, you'd think they'd be looking for like some nice big historical drama to do.
I honestly thought.
Well, the thing is with that though, right, is would they just compare it to Game of Thrones?
No, 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 no.
That's the way I'm looking at it.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No. No!
No! Yes.
You forgot one very, very, very important and very, very popular Bernard Cornwell series. Sharp.
Okay, yeah.
Sharp is nothing like Game of Thrones.
Is that the one with Sean Bean in?
And he looks so
young. It is a bit like Game of Thrones then, in that they both have Sean Bean in
there. Yeah.
He does walk around calling
your
everybody.
Your point is invalid. I am right.
Sean Bean does spend a lot of time walking around calling people illegitimate child quite a lot.
Does he die?
Hey, Sharp.
Does he die in Sharp?
No, because like a few seasons of Sharp, there was Sharp, and there was Sharp's Waterloo, and there was... Because there's also Sharp in India as one of the books.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, which sounds just wrong and really sharp in India.
I've got a question. I neither support this nor have anything against it. Something I thought I had.
So you're Switzerland?
Yes, I'm very neutral. Okay. I just want your opinion. You talk about, obviously, with the way Game of Thrones has been going, and doing these massive books in series is a good idea. What about Lord of the Rings?
No.
Okay. Moving on.
Yeah, I feel like the film series is going to too definitive. You couldn't just go back and make something else.
And at least the extended edition as well.
If you, before you did the Lord of the Rings, I mean, they already started doing the movies of... and have you noticed they actually stopped at Voyage of the Dawn Treader?
Yes.
Right.
Oh, yeah, because like no one cares about the Narnia films anymore.
No one cares about them. And the other reason why they didn't go any further than Voyage of the Dawn Treader?
Because after that, Narnia gets just completely crazy town banana pants.
Basically, yeah, and very, very dark, because after that is the Silver Chair and the Last Battle. Mm-hmm. And the Silver Chair is basically one of Caspian's descendants loses his mind and basically becomes a psycho. And the reason is because of a throne made of silver.
It's not really a kid's film.
That freaked me out so much as a kid.
And then the last battle is basically the whole thing with Tash.
Everyone dies.
Yeah, everyone dies and the giant squeezes the sun and they keep going, father in, father up. Anyway, not sure what you're talking about here. This weird psychology being displayed. I would like to see the Cosmic Trilogy done as a TV series. I don't know if you've read that. C.S. Lewis did the Cosmic Trilogy.
I don't think I have, no.
You should read it. It's actually really, it's really good. Anyway, we're pretty much at the end of the show.
So we is.
Yes. So we're going to leave you there. And if you have any suggestions of books that could be turned into TV shows, do let us know, studio@thegeekshow.co.uk, or find us on Facebook or on Twitter. Just look for The Geek Show and let us know. So, yes. Anyway, I've been Rob.
I've been Andrew.
I've been Jordan.
I'm still Andy.
And I've been a disembodied voice because my body just doesn't work anymore.
Oh, well.
All right, we'll see you all next time for more Literary Logic.
Bye.